Inside Mac.
Welcome to the only place on earth where your digital lifestyle and the world of Macintosh come together every week. Welcome to Inside Mac Radio in San Francisco from our flagship station, News Talk 1220 KNTS. I'm Scott Shepard along with Brad Wright and the hot pages of Mac Minute with Dean Orlando. With all the news this week, made with the world of Macintosh in mind. Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utilities for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD-XDV, the place to get the software to take content off your DVD and bring it into your Macintosh to do anything you want with it, into Final Cut Pro, into iMovie, you name it. Cool stuff. Check those guys out. They got a brand new site, DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, a new Mac Pro, an iPod, upgrades for your Mac. They got it all. Check these guys out. Very cool. MCETech.com, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac Radio program, FirmTech. So if you want to get the cool, fast, ultra-cool storage for your Mac, all SATA-based, backplane, no cables, nothing to deal with, just plug them in and go, removable trays, all kinds of great stuff. Check the cats out over at FirmTech. That's F-I-R-M-T-E-K, FirmTech.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Mode. You can find all this information over at InsideMacRadio.com. Brad, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Scott. How are you doing there, Dina?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks.
So, Dina.
Yes.
We have the Inside Mac Minute headline news. Give us some details on more that's coming up here later in the show.
All right. Well, Scott, one of the tech's top CEOs will add momentum to Apple's board of directors. And soon, very soon, it will be time to face the music. Details on that on Inside Mac Minute Headlines News.
That'll be very cool. Zune, what a joke. What a bunch of losers, dude.
And we're going to find out just where they are on that progress coming up. It's very interesting. I think you guys will really love it out there.
I want to just rip it right now.
Oh, we're gonna get to that. It's coming up. It's
You're teasing
coming.
Me, man. I want to just.
It's coming. Payback time.
I don't know, man.
We're also going to be talking about a car that goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, basically.
Really?
Zero to 60 in 4 seconds.
Wow. Clean, fast, quiet, and efficient.
You probably would never hear it coming. It would just be.
It must be electrical, huh?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
We don't know what that is.
Well, no, but you can run cars on alcohol, and
it could be a nitro burning funny car. We don't know yet. We that'll be coming up on the Inside Mac Minute Radio News.
Well, that's cool. I like that kind of stuff. You know, reach out. You know, we're all Mac users. We're all into technology. You know, we all talk about the Mac stuff, but you know, sometimes it's nice to reach outside of the box and maybe talk about a cell phone or just something cool that's going on, because people that are Mac users like the finest and the highest
like
quality stuff.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we want to talk about stuff that's cool too. So that's great stuff there. We got some cool guests on the show today, though.
We do. Let's talk. What do we have up for today?
Of course, we're going to have Andy Shallett doing his Mac design out of the box tip. We're going to have Little Sammy Levin. Little Sammy is going to come on and talk about some kind of cool Mac, you know, pick. He's got a new pick of the week.
Well, there's always cool gear on that stuff. And so Sam's always
got something to talk about.
On the cool stuff.
We're going to have Jeff Covell on from Skylab Design Group. They were just featured on Apple's Pro Cyber Profiles. These guys have skylabdesign.com, okay? And they are a very high-end, super cool industrial design, architectural, Dieter type deal. Don't touch my monkey. You know, very cool stuff.
I guess if the audience is old enough to remember the Saturday Night Live sketch, they're actually born by that time when it was actually on the air.
Yeah, well, you know, we're codgers, so,
yeah.
You know, all I need is my Robitussin.
Yeah, there you go.
And then in the second hour, we're going to, of course, have Philip Hodges in doing our Digital Production Buzz weekly post, pre-production, production news, all the things going on in the world of professional digital video and even home stuff, you know?
Yes.
Talking about things you can do with iMovie and all kinds of. Of course, we're going to have reports throughout the show from Dean Orlando, our lovely and talented host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. We're going to have the legendary one and only Smithsonian laureate Vincent Versace talking about his new gig called Acme Educational.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out about what the whole Acme deal is there. But either way, it's very cool stuff. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast-quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X, now universal binary. You can check it out at micromat.com. Right now we have James Kim with us. He is the senior editor over at CNET, and we're going to talk today about iPod speaker stuff. Hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. So tell us, you used to be over with, before you were at CNET, you were over at Tech TV, correct?
That is correct. And before that, ZDTV.
Yeah, you've been around that deal for a while until the Vulcan thing exploded.
Yes, that was quite an experience, but I'm glad I'm over here.
Yeah, no, CNET rocks. I mean, we used to be at CNET. We were part of CNET Radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so been an interesting deal. But now tell us, you are a senior editor. You do a lot of reviews and portable audio, iPod goodies, all kinds of cool little trinkets over there.
That's right. The latest review that I'm working on is the SanDisk Sansa, the 8-gigabyte sort of nano killer.
Oh, but, how is it?
You know, we're waiting to see what Apple has in store for us.
I think there's always something there lurking somewhere.
Yeah,
there's always
sure.
Some cool little trinket. Let's talk today about, you did a deal about different speakers for the iPod.
Yes.
And what's your thoughts on this whole speaker deal? Because you got Apple's, you know, their hi-fi deal, and you got about another 5,000 companies that are making speakers now. What's really cool? What's the hot ticket? What does James think that rocks?
Well, you know, there really are tons of accessories made for the iPod. And, of course, most of these speaker systems also can work with other audio devices. But, because they're made for the iPod, you can dock them and recharge and transfer songs to a computer, to and from a computer. So there's a lot of benefits in addition to just being stylized around the iPod. I'm a good person to ask, too, because I have many iPod speaker systems at home that I use. I have an iPod Hi-Fi, of course, from Apple. That was much ballyhooed, and, you know, it's really kind of an expensive piece of gear that's kind of blocky, pretty decent sound quality at high volumes, but a couple of things that I don't like about it. I also use the Altec Lansing IM7, which is the cylindrical, very, you know, modern-looking boombox. It's been out for a couple of years, and I always like that one. You just kind of stick your iPod in the cradle and snap it closed, and it becomes like one unit and runs on batteries, very good sound, horrible remote. So it really depends on where you want to use your device. There's a bunch of new iPod speaker systems that are, you know, designed just for the home. They don't have battery support. There are some that are more, for your bedroom, for your nightstand, so they're like the JBL On Time and the new Logitech Audio Station and Audio Station Express, both have all have clocks, so they're sort of like integrated as clock radios. Prices range from anywhere from like $50-$60 for, you know, a pair of low end Logitechs up to $350-$400. Some of the best sounding and most powerful iPod speaker systems for the home that I've heard are the Klipsch iFi, and if anyone's familiar with Klipsch computer speaker systems, yeah, they rock. There's powerful subwoofer. I think there's 200 watts of total power. There's an iPod dock included, and that actually lists for 400, but it's available for under 300 right now. So it actually does better than the iPod Hi-Fi in terms of pricing. I just looked at this smaller brand from Jinny Systems, Chinese manufacturer, and I just reviewed the iTube, which is a three-piece system with an integrated vacuum tube. So it's sort of it's a hybrid vacuum tube solid-state design that is supposedly makes digital compressed files a little warmer and smoother, and it actually sounds very, very good.
Yeah, I have the iFi myself, and you're right, that thing lays it down. It's worth the dough. I mean, like you said, it's a breakout component subwoofer and the satellite deal, but it's a real type of, it's like a real monitor type system.
It's built around classically good set of speakers. It's not just sort of a hybrid of parts.
Right.
But like you said, the thing retails for 5 clams. So.
Yeah.
It really thumps, but it's really an investment. I mean, a lot of people out there have established home stereo systems, and you know, there are many ways to sort of integrate besides the easy sort of connect, you know, via your eighth inch headphone jack. You know, there's DLO has the the Home Dock Deluxe, you know, where you can actually connect the output of the video to a TV and control your iPod that way. There's a lot of solutions. There's iPod's own dock. You know, so this is one of those topics where, yes, there are, you know, hundreds of iPod speaker system, or at least speaker systems out there, and there are dozens of iPod-specific speaker systems, and then there's other ways you can do it. So there's also the portable speaker system, which is basically the latest one I reviewed was from Altec Lansing, the InMotion IM500. These are actually designed for the Nano, and they're so thin. They're 0.67 inches thin, and they sort of fold down into something that you can just slip into a backpack in between books or something, and it's pretty decent sounding too. So, you know, the portable stuff is kind of cool because they're battery operated. That product plus the Logitech MM50s I like. You know, a lot of people talk about the Bose SoundDock. You know, you see the ads everywhere. Pretty good sound. A little expensive, but a couple things I don't love about that is, you know, it doesn't run on batteries, and I don't think there is a line in input. So, you know, you don't want to be too one-dimensional. You want to be able to connect your laptop or other devices to a speaker system if you're going to invest in one.
Now,
this is so true about the having to deal with a multiple input. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, when you guys go out and measure these, are you guys measuring, like, impulse distortion, and are you putting it in, like, in a lab and a scope and just really running full-blown tests on it, or are you just guys listening to it and plugging it in?
I think, you know, in most cases, it's plugging in and listening and taking it home and listening. And we do side-by-side tests. It's mostly subjective. We do a slightly different thing with MP3 players where we actually connect it to a big device, a sound card, and, you know, analyze distortion and signal to noise and all that stuff. But for speaker systems, you know, I'd imagine for an iPod, it's more of a subjective thing. If you're talking about high-end audio with, you know, vacuum tube amps and big, you know, nice speakers, you know, that's something where it's going to require more golden ears and, you know, more equipment to actually determine what's better. But I would say it's pretty easy to line up a group of iPod speakers and figure out which one sounds the best.
Very interesting there. Now, what do you think if you were going to buy one unit that you could only have one, James, that was an all-around deal that you sort of wanted maybe just sit in the living room or in your bedroom.
Uh-huh.
You had some decent sound out of it. You could listen to some jazz. You could crank it up and put some Maiden on it, you know, whatever. What would you sort of pick that would be sort of like your pick as, and let's not talk about price here.
Right, right.
What rocks if you're going to buy one unit and you just want it to sort of work?
You know, I still stand behind the Altec Lansing IM7s only because, you know, I'm a very mobile person, and I like to sort of bring stuff around with me and amplify outside or at a friend's house or something like that. So I would say that because if it's just for home as well, it looks nice and it sounds great. There's the only thing I really don't like about it is the remote control, which is like one of those puffy plastic things that is
it's something you normally gets lost in the couch. You step on it and then just throw it away anyway. So, James, thank you so much for being with us today. We'd really love to have you back talking about more stuff and do some more stuff with you guys. Very cool. There we go. James Kim, senior editor at CNET. Check him out at CNET.com. Next up here, we're going to have Andy Shallett, the Mac Design Out of the Box author, and we're going to have some cool tips for you, so stay tuned. Don't go away. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
You're Inside Mac, the only source on the planet that brings you everything you need to know about the Macintosh. And this part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've got some great software that you created a DVD and you want to pull this back off the DVD and bring it back into iMovie, DVD Studio Pro, iDVD, QuickTime, doesn't matter what it is. Pull it off. Great stuff. They got a brand new smoking cool website. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Right now we have Andy Shallon online with us. Andy is the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box, cool book on how to do Macintosh design and graphic works with everything that ships on your Macintosh. And he's got a cool segment to talk about today, is how to actually go black and white from color. I think it's more than just in Photoshop, just taking the saturation and killing
just
it.
Just killing it all the way to the right.
There's a little bit more things involved about that. And we're going to talk, too, later, besides what Andy's talking about, our buddy Vincent Versace is going to be going over
more
some
photography.
Of this stuff.
So Andy.
Oh, let's see if I can't contradict what he has to say later.
There you go.
Yeah, no, it's very easy. All you do is you switch mode from RGB to grayscale. You're done.
Yeah. And then it's all
nasty. I try
nasty.
To get these things right to the point. Actually, I've been working on a website for a friend of mine who's a photographer in Europe, and he has these beautifully gorgeous color photographs. But for some reason, I guess the trend is now to do these things in black and white, at least on the web. So he wanted me to convert all of these beautiful color photographs to black and white. And as we say, you don't really want to just go, okay, mode, change, that's it, because you get a very flat, gray, dull image. And if you've seen photographs like Ansel Adams, of course, is the great one, but these things have such depth and clarity, and they really have so much movement and emotion to them, and they're just black and white. And we can do that pretty much with any photograph. Of course, as I said, I'm starting out with these color photographs that are in these Italian cathedrals, for instance, or, you know, beautiful things filled with rich color, and I want to convey that in black and white. So what we have to do is we have to change the mode. So usually if you get them, for instance, if you're not a pro photographer, you won't be using RAW necessarily, although RAW is, of course, the best image format for it. But if you get even a JPEG in RGB, you convert that thing over to lab color, first thing. You know, lab color. Not many people really play with it, I guess, if you're not a pro. But lab color means, well, you know what it means, right, guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get more, basically it gives you more dynamic range. You have deeper blacks and brighter highlights.
Right, because lab, even though you'll see that they're in color and they look great in color, lab is lightness and then an A and a B channel. So what you do is you convert them to lab, and then you desaturate, believe it or not, so that you don't have to worry about the color. But when you desaturate in lab, you're really not taking out anything except for imposed color on it. So it really works beautifully. Then what you do is you go to your channels in Photoshop, and you'll see you'll have three channels. You'll have, like if you were in RGB, you would have R, G, and B, red, green, and blue. But this one, you have lightness and then A and B. You turn off the A and B, and you just have the lightness. And with that lightness, you can then open up the curves, and you can start getting the depth of these black and whites that are just beautiful, amazing, shockingly emotional photographs, and they're black and white. So I put up a small example of it on my webpage, so if people want to see the difference from color to black and white and see how you can evoke some emotion, I put it up. It's under shallot.com/InsideMac. So if anybody wants to go check it out, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Essentially, change to lab, desaturate, work in the channel, just play with the curves, and you'll see. You'll start to get the depth and clarity of the image, and then when you bring it back into the layers, you've got this beautiful black and white image. You can convert that over to RGB again, or you can copy and paste it into a whole new RGB image, and you've got a beautiful black and white. Always keep them in RGB, though.
Hey, Andrew, thank you so much. We can't wait to talk to you next week about more cool tips. There you go, Andy Shallett. And next up here, we got some new gear that you have to find out about, so don't go away. Inside Mac Radio continues.
This is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis. If you need troubleshooting, training, advice, or technical support for your Mac, we can help. We can resolve most Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively, and we guarantee it. Plus, our cool internet-enabled remote control software lets us work with you no matter where in the world you happen to be. For more info or to schedule an appointment, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac Radio is on the air. Your one spot for everything good that is Mac. Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out with a brand new universal binary, dual-sided, multi-boot DVD, very cool stuff. Check them out, micromat.com. I'm Scott Shepard here with Brad Wright and Dean Orlandos with the Inside Mac Minute Headline News. Dina, what are you working on?
Well, guys, is it really possible for your iPod to bring down a commercial airliner? Details coming up on the Inside Mac Minute Headline News.
Whoa, that's smoking. Hey, and when it comes to the coolest new gear for your Apple, we got Sammy Levin with us.
Oh, yeah.
Sammy with his cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. And, you know, I've decided, guys, that we need to do a new segment, well, within the cool Mac picks, and I'm going to call it Case of the Week. So, no, you don't have to be a lawyer to understand this, but if you're an iPod freak, which we all are, how many cases, guys, are there? There must be, hundreds and hundreds of iPod cases.
I think the iPod has more cases than any other product known to man.
Anything. So, today I want to kick off Case of the Week. Now, that's not going to be my only segment, but today I'm going to talk about three of them, three iPod cool cases. And I've talked about one before, but I'm going to call our case of the week, even though I've got to list three. One of them is from Marware called the Sidewinder. And Marware is known for doing stuff, you name it, iPod stuff, iPod peripherals, even PowerBook and MacBook cases. This Sidewinder case is probably one of the best protected iPod cases I've seen. It's a hard shell plastic, but you can have access to any part of the iPod, including the top, the bottom connector. It's really well done. It's got a kickstand that pulls out as well as a place for your headphones. This thing, I think, is one of the best protected cases made. It's from Marware, so go to marware.com. It's $29.95. That's one of my cool picks for cases. The other is Contour Design. Contour Design has come out with the Showcase video for iPod 30 and 60. This is a very nice case that's clear on front and back and protected by bumpers on the sides, black bumpers. It's very slick. If you've got a YouTube video, you could see all the writings on the back end. I really like what they've done. It's called the Showcase video from Contour Design for $32.95. And last, it's our friends from iSkin up in the great north of Canada. They've come out with a Evo 3 special limited case for the YouTube video, and it's black and red, very, very slick. These guys are the trend meisters for iPod cases. Check them out at iSkin.com, and I think theirs is about $34.95 for that case. So that's my new Case of the Week segment. So each week, we're going to deliver a very cool iPod case along with other cool Mac goodies, Scott.
That rocks, dude. We love cases. I love cases to put things inside of my bag and more things inside of little bags. Almost like those little nested Russian little dolls.
Oh,
you know?
You're talking about like the, I can't even remember the name of it, but the Enigma, you know, the little Enigma.
Yeah. You know, so you got to have a part goes in a little water-filled bag, and then that water-filled bag goes into some other bag, and then it goes into a Brent Haven.
And speaking of Waterfield, you know? Waterfield just came out with a MacBook Pro sleeve specifically for the MacBook Pro. So hopefully we'll see that when Gary gets back from his biking tour. Gary is a bicyclist, and he goes all over the country in France. But he should be back in the next 2 weeks, and we'll hit him up for one, and we'll feature that in the next 3 weeks.
Wow, cool stuff. Hey, Sammy, thank you so much for that great information, buddy.
You got it.
There we go. Cool stuff for your Macintosh. That was Sam Levin with his Cool Mac Picks. And Sammy is the connoisseur of cases. The bag man.
Yeah, and coming up next, we're going to be talking about some of the highest, hottest, greatest office spaces on the planet and how they were designed on a Macintosh.
That's it. You got to love this stuff, man. All I can say, Skylab. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life,
business, your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Inside Mac Radio is live and the only location worldwide that gives you everything that's great about the Mac every day. Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by MCE Technologies, the coolest place to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, even a Mac Pro, even a G5 Quad, iPods, you name it.
Anything.
Any of those guys are rocking. You can check them out at MCETech.com. Right now we have Jeff Covell from Skylab Design Group. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Now, you guys were just featured on Apple's website as one of their pro users of Apple gear and equipment. Give our listeners a little background. If they haven't actually got to see the very nice piece over there at Apple.com, what is Skylab Design Group and who's Jeff?
Skylab Design Group is an architecture firm. We specialize in not specializing, and we do anything from exhibit design work through hospitality design work to new construction residences, multifamily housing, and commercial buildings. So we work on all sorts of different types of projects. We're located in Portland, Oregon, and I am an architect and the founder, lead architect, lead designer, and founder of the company.
Yeah, but you guys don't have a really conventional approach to architecture. You have, you turn regular spaces into something incredibly special. What you do is really pretty amazing. You can see some of the pictures. I've been looking at some of the pictures on your website. One of the stories is that you actually outfitted a rather rundown place and turned it into just a spectacular environment. Could you tell us something about that?
Sure. That project is the Doug Fir Lounge, and that's actually restaurant, bar, music venue, and that project, I actually pulled together the group of partners for that project. So I'm one of the three owners of that project, which makes it a little bit different. So I was the client and the designer and the contractor. Which
so you actually went and bought this place, and it was what was it before?
It was two things. It had been sort of split out initially when it was built in the early '60s. It was a motel and has a kind of underground nightclub and a kind of classic diner. And it had been kind of fallen into really bad disrepair.
It was run down and it was being used for all kinds of illegal activities.
Yeah, exactly. And so we found it was pretty gross, but we could tell that, underneath the bad renovations, that there was really still a beautiful building buried under there. And so I brought together a couple of guys, Mike Quinn, who's a music promoter here in Portland, and John Plummer, who owns a bar and also a shoe store here in Portland. And the three of us pulled together the Doug Fir project, which went from a sort of small operation into a 21-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 80-employee rock and roll venue.
Wow. That's really nice.
Yeah, the place is really cool. Now, Jeff, how does a Macintosh actually help you in your design work? Are you guys using a CAD programs to draw your architectural stuff? I mean, I guess a lot of things that comes to people's minds when they think of architect, they think of the guy from the Brady Bunch.
Right.
Going off in the old family truckster, wagon with a wood on the side.
He was all right, though. The clamshell design for Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yeah?
That was okay.
Yeah, that was cool. But I mean, that's a cool example. But I mean, how do you guys use? How does Jeff use your Mac stuff?
What does the Mac make it?
How does it inspire you? And what do you actually use in software wise to do these cool things? Because you know, a lot of these design here. I mean, this is cool. This stuff rocks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got lucky. I'd say in the sense that the first job I took out of school was with a designer, not an architect, and he came really from much more of a sort of set design, exhibit design background, and his office was on Mac, and so I learned in his office how to use certain programs, PowerCAD being probably the primary one, and that's still our CAD software today. This was 10 years ago, and so I kind of lucked into starting out on that platform as opposed to in AutoCAD, like the majority, maybe I'd say 85-90% of architects are
they're all on the PC
based, working in AutoCAD. And AutoCAD is a very sort of engineering
right. It's a Dieter deal. It's sprockets.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you're looking at a kind of black screen with lots of different lines that are all the same. You know, perfectly thin. Much more sort of, you know, like set up for designing, you know, machine parts or something like that.
Yeah, it's a traditional idea.
You're building a screw or something, nut or a chair.
Right. Great for that, but not great for actually the art of drawing. And you know, to me, the art of drawing is a big part of our process. And so on the Mac, what we can do is lay out sheets, lay out the whole set, view it, as sheets of drawings, view our line weights when we're drawing, just like we're drawing with a pencil, really, or with a set of ink pens, varying thickness, and really craft drawings in this sort of more in a traditional way, but with all of the benefits of file saving, duplicating, and the speed that comes from.
Sure.
From being able to use a computer.
Now, for our listeners here, Jeff, that want to inspire to do this kind of cool stuff that you guys are up to, do you still think that people need to have a traditional background in mechanical, pencil, actually drawing, pencil on paper, drafting, mechanical design? Or should they just go, forget that, man, I'm going to get me a new PowerBook, dude, and just get Vectorworks or some other kind of CAD program and just start rocking?
I'm a big believer in the traditional skills. I think it's critical. I mean, I employ a lot of people, that come through here and have come from different backgrounds of architecture schools and programs, et cetera. And there's really something about, the skills of being able to build models well by hand and being able to draw well by hand that they just, it brings you a much deeper understanding.
So you really have to sort of not only just be an architect, which is sort of an industrial job, but you have to really be more of an artist as well.
Right. And then, how you do those things exactly is an expression of art, where how you create a 3D rendering. Some people can do that with an artistic hand, but a lot of times you don't really see the author in it.
Right, and I think a lot of times too, like you said, traditional architects, design guys that actually sat down with a drafting table, the cool mechanical pencil deal. Besides doing that, they actually built little models.
Right.
Of stuff, and they were actually crafted in the actual physical hand craft of actually building something and designing, because you need to convey this to your customer, because, old school, they didn't have a 3D that they could render something out in Maya or something and go, oh, look at this.
Right. I mean, really what it comes down to is knowing the craft of your trade, and in order for you to sort of break the rules, you need to know what the rules are first. And, it's funny because there's really not much need for traditional drafting, and I would really never draft by hand today. With the Mayline and the triangles and the way we used to do it.
I mean, even though you're using your Mac and you're using this cool stuff, and let's talk about some of the other software, because I know you're using some other stuff too, but do you ever get the point to where it's like, I want to pick a pencil up and I want to have that tactile mechanical feel of,
dragging the pencil
dragging over
the paper,
vellum, doing real stuff. I mean, actually hand drawing, where you don't have this. I mean, you can get a Wacom tablet and you can do all these great things, but do you ever miss the point of the mechanical tactile?
Right. What we do now, I sketch all day long. So that's really as much as I'm working on the computer, I'm freehand drawing. And that's, so I really do get that. It's been probably 5 years since I've actually used a straight edge and drawn. There is something great about that, and the last time I did it, it actually kind of broke a creative block, and it was really great. But, the reality is today is that we just don't have time that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's so much stuff happening. Now, you're using another software to create this stuff. And I know you're using Google Earth and SketchUp. Tell us about how you integrate that stuff in there.
Yeah, you know, that's been great. We're using a bunch of different 3D programs. SketchUp came in. We were using Form-Z, which can be a little intense for fast work. And so we brought in SketchUp and brought it into a schematic design process. And really, really what we're able to do is create buildings incredibly quickly and then take them and literally, you know, drop them into the Google Earth model and use those prints to show our clients, you know, what a building might look like. We just did a 30-story tower in downtown Portland where we came up with a schematic design in literally, you know, 20, maybe 15 hours of time, and, you know, dropped it into the map and, you know, sent off the images to the client, and it was, you know, basically the same effect as looking at a model that would have taken, you know, 80 hours of time for somebody to do, you know, by hand.
Right. So that's cool. So you can actually use the Google API, design your stuff in SketchUp, and then bring this in, because I guess this integrates now because of Google owns SketchUp.
Right.
Bring this 3D building that you did that's pretty cool and just stick it into a 3D gig in Google. Now you can stick a 30-story building.
You're actually putting it into its landscape surroundings. You actually can see it. How is this, how is this building
fitting
with the other
buildings? We can actually go into like the streetscape of the city.
Yeah.
See how this building looks in perspective walking down the street, you know, with all the other massing models of their other buildings in town.
That is so cool. Hey, Jeff, we're coming to a break. We want to finish up when we come back. Can you hold on with a minute with us? We want to come back and tell everybody how they can go check out all the cool stuff you guys are up to.
Absolutely.
There you go. Jeff Koval, Skylab Design Group. These guys rock. You got to check their stuff out. You can go to apple.com/pro and then look at the link they have up there, or you can just go to skylabdesign.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back with more cool Skylab.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Where the world for what's great about the Macintosh comes together. This is Inside Mac Radio, and this part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by the cats over at FirmTech. If you want the coolest place for storage for your Macintosh, all SATA backplane, no cables, plug them in, removable trays, very cool implementation. Check them out at FirmTech.com. We're here with Jeff Koval, the CEO of Skylab Design Group, and we've been talking about the cool stuff they're doing, their great architectural stuff, how they're still, you know, doing the stuff by hand, but it all integrates with the Mac and Google Earth. Jeff, is there anything else that's just really cool about what you guys are into that just like that just pops with you on the Mac? That's just like, wow, this is cool.
I think that there's so many different sides to this. You know, it's not just the design side; business management is also really important. And I think that, you know, things are really just starting to open up for us there. We're testing a product right now called ArchiOffice, which is an integrated FileMaker program that uses FileMaker basically to do all of our timesheets and integrate our billing and really get a kind of real-time project management aspect going on. I think that stuff's really interesting. You know, as the computers allowed us to do a lot more projects and get a lot more work done more quickly, you know, there's all sorts of problems that come along with trying to manage all that. So really right now we're getting both sides. The other thing that, you know, has been great is, you know, we're starting to integrate handheld, so integrating the Trios and being able to schedule that way. We're just getting set up that way. And, you know, I think primarily the biggest breakthrough in our business has been just the use of 3D rendering. Being able to visualize products with their actual materials and, you know, textures and daylighting, and, you know, that's just been an invaluable tool for changing the way that we work.
Yeah, that's just so cool stuff there. Now, how do people find out more information about what Jeff's up to, your guys' whole group? What's going on? How do they find out?
I primarily stick with our website. We're in the process of redeveloping it, but what's up there is looking pretty good right now. We've got a couple of projects coming out up right now in Portland. One of them is a 15-story lounge on top of the most historic building in downtown Portland. It should be real exciting.
Cool. Portland's a beautiful town, too.
Yeah, things
I love Portland, yeah.
Things are going nuts up here.
So I guess they just go to skylabdesigngroup.com and they can check out everything you guys are up to, huh?
Just skylabdesign.com. That's the way to go. And they can check out the Doug Fir Lounge at thedougfirlounge.com.
Very cool. Hey, Jeff, I really appreciate being with us today. This is cool stuff, man. Your guys' stuff rocks.
Hey, thank you very much.
There you go.
Okay.
Jeff Covell, Skylab Design Group.
Yeah, I want my whole house to look like that. I think they just have some... I mean, they have some crazy stuff. I mean, they have you know, when they're talking about the Doug Fir Lounge, I mean, they literally put like a log cabin type of interior in some of the walls. So they have like these basically cut down trees with the bark stripped off, stacked up like Lincoln logs on the sides of the walls and everything. And it actually is really, really cool. I mean, just great stuff.
Yeah, I can see the place being very inviting, you know, nice music going on there.
Yeah, I think
cocktails, a pretty nice environment.
Oh yeah, I mean that's when you'll start really feeling it after a few drinks, you know, and you're in there and you're just in like a what looks like a log cabin. I think it's really it's quite cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. I guess that's some of the maybe something we should have discussed and touched on with Jeff is you know, what's the inspiration for some of these design things is you sort of really need to get into the environment. If you're going to design a lounge, do you go get, you know, just
drink a bottle of scotch and just get going
and
yeah.
just hang out in the room and just walk around and go, man, what's this like? I mean, how do you get into the groove of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, because it's pretty.
You need to make the place very inviting and warm when you're in that type of environment. So, I don't know, it's pretty cool stuff. But Jeff is cool. That was really cool that Apple, you know, did his deal, and it's cool. So you are listening to the Inside Mac Show, your only and your number one source for everything Macintosh. With our partners over at News Talk 1220 KNTS here in beautiful San Francisco. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dino Orlando. And next up in the second hour, we have a slew of more kinds of cool things coming down. We got Philip Hodges, a digital production buzzmeister. We got more Mac news. We have the one and only legendary Vincent Versace. We'll be back. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about actually Photoshop World, too. We got Photoshop World coming up. It's great stuff. We'll be right back. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are inside Mac.
Welcome back to the only place on earth where your digital lifestyle and the world of Macintosh come together every week. This is Inside Mac Radio in San Francisco from our flagship station, News Talk 1220 KNTS. I'm Scott Shepard along with Brad Wright and hot from the pages of the Mac Minute, Dino Orlando, with all the news from this week made you the world mectacular. Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by our partners over at Pop Photo, the coolest website for all the great stuff and the magazine. Popular photography
Very
imaging.
Nice.
You can check that out. We got a great show coming up here. Actually, next week we have Photoshop World live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. We'll be there live on the floor all week, covering all the great things going on in the world of Photoshop. And also later in the show, we're going to have, you know, cool stuff there. But right now, I think we have another blip from our newsroom with Dina. What's going on?
Well, what goes 0 to 60 in 4 seconds and uses basically a flashlight battery? I'll tell you soon on Inside Mac Minute Headline News.
Whoa.
0 to 60, a car that goes 0 to 60 on a flashlight battery.
I want to hear about this.
Basically
a flashlight battery.
Well, it depends on what kind of flashlight, you know? It's just a...
well, it's actual battery.
Right. Is it a flashlight from the Grays, maybe?
Ooh, I don't know.
So it could be a gray battery.
Yeah. Imagine, you know, you use like a bunch of that many Ever-Readies.
Yeah. Well, a battery's a battery. I mean, you know, in theory, you could propel anything if you had enough Ever-Readies.
Yeah.
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 That's cool. So I love that stuff. So we can't wait. Thank you very much, Dina. Cool stuff there. And later on this hour, we're going to have Philip Hodges on talking about the digital post-production news of the week. And I think I was just talking to you during the break that Red Digital Cinema, Jim Gennard, the president and CEO of Red and Oakley, they did a private preview in Hollywood of the 4K sensor of actual, I guess, some live footage.
Live footage that they took.
This was a personal type invite to a couple of studio heads in Hollywood. They're going to show the stuff off at IBC with one of the studios' 4K Sony projectors. So they're going to have a theater deal set up at IBC in Amsterdam coming up here in, what, about 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And they actually showed off the Red camera. If anybody doesn't know, you can go to red.com.
Red.com, that's it.
Check out what's going on about that. But it's what they have is they show this off, and the, one of the unnamed studio presidents, or you know, one of the high-ups, said that this is 99.85% film.
They and were blown like away. A fraction of the cost. This is not, you're going to spend, you're not going to spend like $2 million on this camera. This camera is $20,000.
That's it. 17 clams plus glass.
Yeah. Or it's, yeah, 17,000. Yeah, right, yeah, around there. That's what you think the finished price.
And I don't think this is even what they probably saw wasn't even finished stuff because of...
Oh, they're still tuning the sensor. I guarantee it. I mean, this is probably just early on in the development side. This is a prototype and it's 99% of the way to film. That's amazing.
Right. So we can't wait to get our hands on
it. We can't wait to get our hands on and create the 4K podcast.
And we'll have some more information on some stuff that we have cooking together here with our friends Jim Gennard and...
And Ted.
Ted Chilowitz.
Ted.
Commander of the Rebellion.
Yes, the leader of the Rebellion.
Yes, commander, leader.
Yes.
Something.
Ted. Ted is an awesome guy.
And her bottle of red rum.
Yeah, red rum.
We have the first bottle of red rum given away by Ted Chilowitz.
That's
in
right.
Public.
That's right. It's got to be. It's framed on your wall, right?
I mean, yeah,
you behind a big case with, you know, guard dogs and everything.
Right.
Surrounding
so
it.
When I get a chance next time we're down, I'll have Jim and Ted sign it.
Yeah.
And then we'll save it, and in 20 years, it'll be worth, you know,
about $20.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. So if you've been to a lot of Final Cut stuff, and people know that Ted's background with AJA and you know, beverages for the crew and stuff
like
that.
Vodka, yeah.
Was vodka. Now it's rum, and it's red rum.
Yeah,
a flavorful, tasty, yummy drink.
Oh yes,
yes.
Yeah.
So it's cool stuff there. So a little deal with that going on this week in the news, and there's just a lot of stuff happening. So it's very cool. Then we're gonna have later on the hour, we're gonna have the one, the only, the legendary Vincent Versace. He's got a brand new gig called Acme Educational. He's got his book done, and he's got a bunch of DVDs coming out. So we're gonna be talking about that. But next up here. We're going to have the best absolute view of everything going on in the Mac. And straight ahead, we're going to have Philip Hodges bringing you the new word in the world of digital and the digital production buzz. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
You're Inside Mac. We're just getting closer and closer to your Macintosh, the world of Mac. I'm Scott Shepard with Brad Wright and Dina Orlando's Inside Mac Minute Headline News coming up. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges. Join us. And this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by American Photo, the cool magazine for all your high-end professional digital photography. Great stuff going on over there. You can check them out at AmericanPhoto.com. Philip, how are we doing today?
I am great. Scott, how are you?
Oh, very good. Thank you, mate. So tell us, what's happening in the world production, post-production, distribution, all the cool things gone over at the Buzz?
One of the things I love is when I'm watching television or I'm watching a movie and they'll grab a piece of crappy, horrible footage, some surveillance camera footage, and they'll zoom in and they'll zoom in and they'll zoom in and they'll suddenly be able to make out what's written on the piece of paper that's on the dashboard of a car where it was, you know, originally 4 pixels by 6 pixels on the monitor. We kind of all know that that's science fiction for the moment.
Really? Oh, you're kidding me. Really?
No. New company called Motion DSP, not quite a new company. They were formed in January, but they've just really got their word out this week, came out of a U.S. military project starting in 1998 up there at UC Santa Cruz. It's got to be one of the cooler places to go to university, I think. But Professor Payman Milenfar was the researcher, and what they've done is they've developed a way of filling in the missing pixels in the video by grabbing them from preceding frames or something like that. That's the dumbed-down explanation for the public. It's actually very, very cool. They have some examples on their website that are hosted off YouTube so that you know that they've been compressed then recompressed as Flash, and they're probably not showing the product and the technology out to its absolute extreme capability. But what they're showing there is quite impressive. This was originally developed for military use, like so much great technology. Mm-hmm. But the results are very amazing. You're cleaning up what is obviously compression artifacting on the source is cleaned out of the post-processing. So one day soon we can do that zoom-in thing in for real.
I wish they could just fill in the gaps in the plot in a bad movie. That would be I think would be, you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean 2. I mean, just fill in all the missing parts that actually make it make sense. I mean, oh. The technology Hollywood needs to survive.
That is indeed a technology that Hollywood needs, or the new idea filter would be very good too.
Yeah, not taking some, you know, I Dream of Genie and blowing it into a $3 billion kind of production movie, you know, or something.
Yeah, did you see in the New York Times over the weekend or late last week that a star is not necessarily a bankable addition to a movie's budget?
I think after Tom Cruise, that probably definitely is true.
Tom Cruise is one of those that did not add anything to the value of the movie, and so maybe Paramount's dropping of the contract with him was a wise move. That there are very few stars that make any difference to the actual movie's return. That's kind of an aside. Motion DSP, you can find them at motiondsp.com, and they're going to create later in the year a free service where you can upload your movie and then download a cleaned up version. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. That's amazing. Okay.
Cool technology.
Yeah. Very cool technology, and I wish them well. And we're actually trying to organize, I've already made contact with them, that we'll have them on Creative Planet's Digital Production Buzz probably sometime in October.
Wow, that'll be an interesting show. That's quite cool. So what else is going on?
Well, it's little movements in the stock footage area. I mean, Mammoth HD have added another 18 collections to their library, all in HD or standard def if you want the old stuff.
If you're still living in the past.
yes, indeed. But what I thought was interesting was that Innovatus have released Flash 8 video loops. So these are just, you know, looping video clips, mostly backgrounds or technology-oriented look pieces, but they're designed to work with Flash directly rather than have to be converted to Flash. I thought that was a kind of a neat twist on the idea.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So you just literally, if you're building up a new Flash web page, you can just drop this into an existing Flash document, import it in, and you've got a background to run a new piece of Flash animation or new part of, well, Flash is, you know, different, but yeah, you can work with it. You can work with it sort of like it was video.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done
exactly. Sort the conversion of. and have the high quality plugin to do that, which is relatively expensive. You'd save it if you're only doing an occasional piece of video conversion. You'd certainly save by buying the stock ready as Flash video.
Yeah, that's great.
And another HD footage company, AlwaysHD.com, is a company that specializes only in HD footage, and they're relatively new. So they want to get stock submissions up. So they're paying a bounty. So if you submit a piece of footage and it gets accepted, then they're going to pay you $10 for every piece that's accepted into the library. That's quite separate from, in addition to, your 50% commission on any sales that get made.
That's really fantastic. Wow. So, I mean, because there is a lot of, obviously, good options for inexpensive high-definition cameras, and if someone shoots a really good piece of footage, you know, of maybe the Golden Gate Bridge or, like, you know, Half Dome or something, you know, maybe that would be really quite cool.
Yeah, and just any stuff that they would come across in regular everyday life. If you're a race car fan, shoot some race car stuff. I guess there'd probably be some limitations on licensing and what you can copyright of content. But apart from that, just submit it into alwayshd.com and see what happens. I was kind of also discouraged a little bit to see that we've had a little bit more consolidation during the week. Corel bought InterVideo, and InterVideo have only really just completed their purchase last year of ULEAD. So we've had three companies that basically have all consolidated down to be just one company. On the positive side, though, Corel didn't have any strong video offerings. They were mostly in the still and print area. And so it just makes their offerings much broader without losing direct competition in the industry. Competition is a good thing. With competition, we get driving forward during the development cycles.
Yeah, and consolidation always... I mean, doesn't Corel also own WordPerfect, I think?
I think so, yes. It's sort of the home of dead software is kind of...
if it's dead, we got it.
that's certainly not true now when they've got the ULEAD range of products, because they are, in fact, very much alive and very high-quality products, including some DVD authoring content tools and video editing tools that are mostly in the consumer space or semi-professional space. Of course, you're subject to the usual shareholder approval, but it's expected to close later this year, and we'll have one less competitor in the marketplace.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing. Good thing that we talked about on Creative Planet's Digital Production Buzz last Thursday that you can check out in the archive was SophieArt. This is a really interesting discussion because it talks about filmmaking to increase human well-being.
Oh, that's a nice concept.
Yeah.
Rather than just increase profits.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, profits are fine, but you've got to live a healthy, happy life. And how that relates to filmmaking is something that you'll just have to find out by listening to the interview in the archives or the podcast. But now, speaking of stock, we actually had Digital Juice on the show. So they were talking about how you can avoid having your stock look like everybody else's stock and still have all the advantages of not having to start from scratch and make it over yourself. So Chuck Peters, who was the VP of Media Marketing for Digital Juice, was on the show. And you can catch that show at digitalproductionbuzz.com.
Excellent.
Every week live.
Good stuff. Hey, Philip, thank you so much. There you go. Philip Hodges, Digital Production Buzz. Next up, what's the best way to Google the Mac? Dean Orlando brings you that from the Inside Mac Minute. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Every week, Inside Mac Radio gets to the bottom of everything good about the Macintosh. And this part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by our friends over at Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional and want to find out all the cool stuff that's going on in the land of creativity, if you want to find out what your peers are up to, get question answered, anything like that, you can check them out over at creativepro.com. Now, the Inside Mac Minute headline news. Here's Dina Orlando.
Thanks, Scott. Apple announced this week that Google CEO Dr. Eric Schmidt has been elected to the company's board of directors. Eric also sits on Google's board of directors and Princeton University's board of trustees. Schmidt joins Jobs and former Vice President Al Gore on the Apple board, which also includes the CEO of clothing company J. Crew and the former head of software firm Intuit. According to Steve Jobs, Eric is obviously doing a terrific job as CEO at Google, and we look forward to his contributions as a member of Apple Board of Directors. And analysts at American Technology Research are saying Windows Zune appears to be another classic case of overpromising and underdelivering. Analyst Sha Wu said Microsoft had hinted on an all-new design from the ground up. It appears that Zune is just another repackaged Toshiba Gigabeat. That's hard to say together. He said Microsoft should have made the Zune's Apple-like click wheel functional. But as it stands now, the fake click wheel doesn't scroll, and it isn't touch pressure sensitive, which will make it difficult to navigate. According to the analyst, the Zune Player shouldn't be considered as an iPod killer, as it will likely only have success against Microsoft's own partners like Sony, Toshiba, and Samsung. The analyst stated the portable media market is divided into two camps, iPod and iTunes, which is the standard, and Windows Media. And a United flight bound for Ottawa, Canada, had a terrifying experience. There was an object on the plane that was questionable, and the plane had to land as soon as possible. As passengers were transported to a large garage filled with armed police, authorities began to investigate. According to the Ottawa Citizen, the object that had caused the panic was an iPod that slipped off the belt of a teenager when he was using the bathroom. The report said it landed in the toilet, and knowing that the iPod was ruined and not wanting to put his hand in the toilet, he tried to flush it away and return to his seat. But unfortunately for him and the other passengers on board, it didn't flush. Another passenger saw the iPod and mentioned it to the flight attendant. She immediately told the captain, who then notified Ottawa airport authorities. As soon as the teenager realized that the iPod was the reason for the panic, he talked to one of the attendants and told her what had happened. But it was too late at that time. The call to Ottawa Airport is processed in motion, and it could not be stopped. And after being questioned, all the passengers were allowed to leave, but the story doesn't say what happened to our poor little teenager who dropped his iPod. Well, coming up, a Roadster, a true GT car that only has two gears. Up next, when the Inside Mac Minute headline news continues.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Inside Mac Minute Headline News. That's what we're talking about with Dean Orlando. But this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program. You can send these cats anything, crayon on a napkin to a Mac print file from a Mac Pro. Anything in between, these guys will print it. Real ink on paper printers. Check them out. PrintingForLess.com. Dina?
Thanks, Scott. 200 iBooks arrived at Nebraska High School, and according to the school, it will distribute a new laptop to every high school student this fall. This new program helps to provide all students with an equal opportunity for learning, and it is becoming more and more popular among schools in Nebraska as well as in other states. Students got involved with unloading the truck and unpacking the boxes with excitement about the new 24/7 laptop learning initiative, which will begin this fall. According to an NVT reporter, Steve White, students realize they've been given quite a gift, but they bear responsibility. It's a $300,000 investment, so the school district is expecting results. And now, this is the story you've all been waiting for. Imagine a car that can provide the power of a V10 or V12, but there's no powerful rumble from under the hood, no burning fuel, and no exhaust. This car is real. It'll cost around $100,000, and it's called the Tesla Roadster. Tesla Motors CEO Martin Eberhard said the dream behind this car was to build an electric car for people who like to drive. He said the result is a very high-performance roadster that gets the equivalent of about 135 miles per gallon. The idea of the electric car is nothing new. The Waverly electric car was built in 1913. At that time, electric cars were quite popular, especially with women, because they were easy to start and run. The Tesla Roadster can reach 60 miles per hour in 4 seconds, and its top speed is expected to exceed 130 miles per hour. Its electric motor produces 248 horsepower, and unlike a standard transmission, a two-speed gearbox is teamed with the electric motor. The first gear is for strong acceleration. The second gear is used to reach the top speed. In addition to offering the performance of a small sports car, the Tesla has a claimed range of about 250 miles. The extended range is made possible with Tesla's energy storage system, which features 6,831 lithium-ion battery cells, about the size of a AA battery, which allows engineers to better distribute the weight as well as optimizing their storage. The first sales of the Tesla are planned for this summer, 2007.
That's cheap for a car that does 250 miles per hour, you know, $100,000.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Where do you find that?
I was really surprised. I thought it would be a lot more than that.
120 miles per hour, but 250 mile range. Sorry, I messed that up. 120 miles per hour goes to 0-60 in 4.9 seconds. That's awesome.
And I think the body's all designed by Lotus, right? So it's pretty cool.
Oh, it looks really cool. I mean, it looks like a true high performance sports car. It's fast. It looks great. I mean, it'll beat things off the line. I think it's like one of the fastest production cars.
You know what's probably cool about it too? You could probably plug like your PowerBook in the dash and it'll charge it.
It cuts down your range, you know.
Now,
you get like 10 miles less.
Here's the $64 question. Did they get the lithium ion cells from Sony?
Oh, yes. Kaboom! It just ignites. It's like you press on the gas and just explodes.
Well, that's all she wrote today, guys.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Dina.
Thank you.
You got to love that. We love the news. Great job.
Awesome.
Cool stuff. Thanks. And then we look forward to more of your daily reports on the Inside Mac Minutes. You can check all that out up at InsideMacRadio.com. Cruise over to MacMinute.com or just pedal on over to iTunes and get it all over there, y'all. Next up here, we're going to have the one, the only, the legendary Vincent Versace. Got a brand new gig. What is Acme Educational? Well, ask the Roadrunner and he'll tell you. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Every week, your world comes alive with Macintosh. This is Inside Mac Radio, brought to you by our fine friends over at Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the place to go for everything in photography, digital imaging, you name it, all the stuff going on there. Check them out at popphoto.com. I'm Scott Shepard, along with Brad Wright. Right now, Vincent Versace. Hello, Vincent. How are you?
I'm on top of the world. Thank you very much. What I want to know is why we don't have a hybrid sports car.
Oh, you yeah. know, that's probably in the works. I mean, that is so amazing. I can't wait for that. I can't wait to even just drive one, just to try it out, to go 0-60 in 4.4 seconds.
You ever drove an electric car, Vincent?
I have. I just bought a Prius.
You did?
Oh, wow.
I bought a Prius, and it's a little odd getting used to. That's where the lithium-ion batteries have gone, I think, are in all the Priuses.
Oh, hope they don't blow up.
So there you go.
I can't believe Vincent not cruising around on the BMW or in your Mercedes with the top down.
Well, no, I have a 64 BMW motorcycle. That ain't going anywhere.
What about the Mercedes, though?
Well, I get 7 miles to the gallon. I get 68 miles to the gallon on the Prius.
Yeah, and there's just something about like filling in the pump and dropping your credit card knowing it's going straight to terrorists. It's just bad.
And what I like is $2 to go to San Francisco from L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, though. Well, it's good, though. You know, it's good for the environment, too. So there we go. Vinny's helping the environment out again.
No, he's helping out his pocket. Yeah, he's helping out the environment.
There you go. Yeah, that's it.
Well, there's the other one. There's those biodiesel things that are pretty cool that, you know,
yeah, actually,
vegetable oil.
Vegetable oil
like
is actually
cream.
Yeah, veggie oil is actually cheaper than diesel right now.
It is, but you don't want to get your vegetable oil from a donut stand. Think about it. You know, it's like you become the cop magnet. Like, what's that?
Right. They just radar you immediately. They just smell you coming from a mile away.
And then you get arrested for like fraud. Like, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were a donut stand. Here's your ticket for fraud.
What's that smell coming from your car? It's intoxicating.
Hey, Vinny, we got a new gig here. You have a new deal. Acme Educational.
You got the joke. You got the joke. That cracked me up. Yeah.
I got the joke. This comes from our friends, the Roadrunner.
If Wile E. Coyote was doing Photoshop training, this is the product he would buy, right?
That's correct. That was my thought on this. Since Acme, everything seemed to have everything you could possibly need, and I'm a child of the cartoons, I figured
that was the way to go.
That was the way to go.
Yeah.
So, Vincent, you've been working on your book. Is done.
It's done.
Your book is done now. Supposedly, it's with these guys that print stuff. I guess whatever they're called, Chicken Press or something. But they're with Peach Pit. Okay,
Chicken Pit.
Your book's done. When's this thing gonna be available? When can we go down and buy this thing
September
at Borders?
September 22nd.
Really?
Yeah, it's September 22nd. It is. It would have been out September 12th, but my one of the editors that's in charge of the book got really sick, so it kind of slowed everything down. But no, the book's done. It's edited, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I read it and I'm going, dang, I want to meet me.
You're like, I am good. I am so good. My gosh, I'm good.
So I guess how this
thank God for editors.
Yes. Now I guess and the reason I mentioned the book deal, and this sort of all works in with the Acme Educational, is let's talk about what the deal behind the book is and how this works in with Wile E. Coyote and the Acme Educational guys.
Well, the book's a why to a how, and what I wanted to do with the book was to write out I wanted it so that if you did the book, you would be at the same skill set I was when I wrote it, if you go through and do the whole thing. And I remember a quote from Albert Einstein, which was, make things as simple as possible, but no simpler. And so this was, okay, this is what I think it is that you need to do to be able to make pictures. And it's a live fire exercise, which means you get the actual full resolution file and 100 PPI version of the file to look at that was made to make the chapter, and you can compare the two and look at it. But in the course of doing this, it's like books are great and you can cover a lot of ground, but visual imaging is experiential, so you kind of need to see what it is that's going on. So the thought was, well, all right, why not make videos of watching me actually do it, because I can talk about it, but if you don't see it, you can't quite see everything there is to see.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, a lot of this stuff is visual, and you have to see it. You have to see what it's actually doing in real time to get the feel of it.
Yeah, so it's like then came the thing of, well, all right, we could do it at 5.5 frames a second screen grab, which I'm not a big fan of because it doesn't really represent anything. So I did it in real time, and it has angle of view, so you can switch A, B, so you can see me working on a Cintiq, which is a pen display, or you can switch to the screen grab to just see the way it looks on computer screen grab. And it plays on a television and a computer. And what we're doing right now is we're shipping that, and we're developing the computer-only version, because the problem with NTSC standard video is that the resolution is, you know, there.
Yes. Yeah. You're basically, here's the button. It's 3 pixels wide.
Right. So, but the problem is that most people want to have it so that they can see what's going on and work on the computer, or they want to be on their treadmill and watch it, and you want to be able to start and stop and see how it all works. So what I wanted to do was to go in and make it so that it's a full step-up learning process where you can see the whole thing, isolate the chapters, and put it on the computer, see it as QuickTime, and we're developing that second one. So we're shipping them, and I've sold 1,500 of them.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's like, wow. So yeah, I got the first three out. I'm going to be producing the next three right after Photoshop World. And we're doing that on high def, which now they've developed technology that's now within the realm of not, you know, of mortal man, that you can actually get high definition cameras that you can afford to use.
Sure. Now let's bring this all together here with coming up. We have Photoshop World coming.
Yep.
And I suspect you'll probably sell another 1,000 DVDs from that gig.
It's not so much concerned about selling the DVDs. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. DVDs. I mean, if Vincent doesn't get to sell his DVDs, then he can't pay rent and make more DVDs, so we can learn more about this kind of photography.
Yeah. Right? Come on, he drives a Prius. He's not making, you know.
Right, you know. He had to get rid of his Mercedes. Come on, please help
the
poor guy out.
He had to sell his Mercedes and get
just
a Prius.
Just buy a DVD from Vinny, okay? He needs it. Please help the poor guy. Okay, Vincent.
Okay, we just killed your brand. Sorry. Okay, hey, well, he does have a really pretty amazing site. The guy is pretty impressive. If you haven't taken a look at his go to www.versacephotography.com, and that's where you can find out a lot more of the kind of work that he does, which is really pretty amazing. He shoots a lot of celebrities. You go to the site.
Yeah,
and sees...
Vincent's incredible. I mean, you really need to see his stuff, and I'm not. You know, his DV stuff is incredible. I've seen it already. He's going to be teaching here at Photoshop World. Well, the thing, too,
really
with Vincent,
fantastic.
You know, Vincent is trained and he has a degree in as an actor, as a filmmaker, really. Your background, you have a degree from somewhere in Los Angeles, and it's in a traditional theater type of, tell us about that.
Well, I'm a USC graduate from the film school. I'm a graduate of ACT in San Francisco.
Vincent's training is not dry. He's a very good presenter. It's almost you're going to theater when you see Vincent teach you. I think it's good stuff.
Yeah, he's not your typical guy reading off PowerPoint slides and, you know, that have like a, you know, million things on the slide and he's just reading every single line on there. You really do a heck of a job.
That's why I'm saying why the DVDs are so cool, and that's why you need to buy one for Vincent, because
yeah.
It's just too cool.
Yeah.
And he had to buy a Toyota.
And he had to buy a Prius, yeah. Uh-oh, did we lose him again?
No, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
So now let's talk about Photoshop World. You are one of the Photoshop Dream Team instructors, and of course you're going to be in Mandalay Bay next week. We're all going to be there. It's going to be fun stuff. We got about 40 seconds. Let's wait till we come back from the break, Vincent. Tell everybody right now if they want to go look at your website right this minute, what's the address?
It's www.versacephotography.com.
So there you go. So we have the one of the baddest photographers in the land. And like I said, because of his training as an actor in film school and this stuff, his presentations are just, dude, you really got to check him out.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I could say about
him. Even if you're not into photography, you got to go see his presentation.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
It's
really
good stuff.
Good stuff. So here we're here with the one, the legendary Vincent Versace. And we will be back in a moment. So stay tuned. We have more of the cool story with Vincent and photography in general. We'll be right back.
Hi, thanks for calling. This is Tom. I'm not in right now. In fact, I'll be out most of the day. I need to go to the computer repair shop. My Mac crashed big time. There I was working on the final version of the annual report when, boom, I crashed. I am so dead. No backup, no vacation, no job. Life sucks.
Hey, Tom, this is Rich, your neighbor. Sorry to hear about your computer crash. Too bad you weren't using Tech Tool Pro. It could have fixed your drive and recovered your files in a few minutes. Go check it out at www.micromat.com. So anyway, I'm calling about some crazy kid that just drove his car through your side fence. There's a 67 Chevy sitting at the bottom of your pool. Take care.
Inside Mac Radio is live, the only location worldwide that gives you everything that's great about the Mac every day. Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by OS X FAQ. If you want all the great information, tips, and tricks for your Macintosh, you can check them out at osxfaq.com. We're here with the legendary, the one, the only, Vincent Versace. Now, Vincent.
I'm here.
You're going to be at Photoshop World.
At the Mandalay Bay.
What kind
of
display of excellent information and showmanship shall we see from the legendary Vincent Versace at Scott Kelby's House of Fun?
Well, it's Scott Kelby's House of Fun.
Or it's a fun house.
Palace, as it were.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing showing black and white technique on how to convert to replicate the physics of film.
You mean to tell me I just can't take the slider in Photoshop and desaturate it and say print?
That's what I've been doing. It works fine for me.
And you can't. And when I talked about this the other day with Vincent, I mean, it's a very involved process that I don't think we want to give it away here. But, I mean, this is something that you can learn in a few hours, I guess. Right, Vincent?
Well, you can learn it. I've got a DVD on it. But basically, it's real simple. The thing that gets missed with black and white conversion is that every conversion pretty much approaches it as luminance, which is light to dark grayscale.
And it's not. It's about a spectral shift, which is the way red, green, and blue light interact with each other. It's like the collision. And I'll give you an example. You could have a pink set of flowers and a yellow set of flowers that are exactly the same luminance. If you desaturate the image, they will be exactly the same gray. If you shot it with film, they would be two different grays.
Oh, that's right, because it actually, black and white film can record higher levels of frequencies, really.
Well, it records color.
Yeah.
It records the spectral interchange of color. Well, that's what we like about black and white film. And so what happens when you do the, I'm just going to use the desaturation approach, you get black and white images where you look at that are black and white, but you go, that's digital.
Yeah, because they absolutely have no range in the image. There's no transition. There's just a hard transition from light to dark. It looks like it was printed on a nasty piece of paper, you know.
That's true. And so what I've spent 8 years figuring out how to do is, how do you replicate the physics of film? And it's fairly straightforward, and it's simple to teach. It takes a little, you know, futzing around with to get it, but once you get it, everybody that I've ever taught it to, I get these emails. It's like, you know, thank you for giving me my black and white back.
Wow.
And
so
that's
can
one
you,
class.
I mean,
the other is how to light in the computer like George Harrell.
Now, can you really, I can shoot something with a digital camera in RAW, and I can make it look like Ansel Adams?
Yeah, but not in the buff. Don't do that.
Yeah. That's how I like to shoot photography. What are you talking about?
You shoot in the buff, you get arrested, you know? Trust me, 47 arrests, no convictions.
Isn't that what they're for? That's why you get a digital SLR.
Vincent, how do people find out more information on this fabulous book that's being printed by our friends over at Peach Pit? How do they find out more information about the DVD?
And it'll lead you to Amazon.com. You can go to Amazon.com. You can send me emails at ineedtoknowthis@AOL.com, and I'll answer any and all questions about the book.
And we'll also put one up on Inside Mac Radio so you can find our buddy's book here. Like I said, Vincent, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to see you next week in Las Vegas.
It's
going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, you really need to check out Vincent's training stuff, because it's not this old dry deal of some cat just clamoring over a Snaps Pro movie. There's entertainment involved, and you learn a lot. And Vincent, thank you so much. You're great. We love you, buddy, and we'll see you next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
There you go. The one and only, the legendary Smithsonian artist, Vincent Versace. Cool stuff there. Like I said, you can check it out. Hey, I'd like to thank the guests of today's Inside Mac Radio show. Of course, we had Jeff Covell, Skylab Design, the legendary, the one, the only, Vincent Versace. We had the lovely and talented Dean Orlando with the great Macintosh news. We had Philip Hodges doing the digital production buzz. Sam Levin with his great cool Mac picks and all kinds of cool stuff. And the sponsors of the Inside Mac show, Micromat, DVD, XDVE, MCE Technologies, Firmtex, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz. You can find out more information about the Inside Mac Radio show over at www.insidemacradio.com. And stay tuned for next week. We have an old buddy of ours going to be stopping by, going to be chatting, going to be talking about some cool stuff, so stay tuned. www.insidemacradio.com.